this process separately and allow the department to conduct some form of assessment with regards to what has been proposed and then come back to the committee so that we are able then to probably start engaging on that separate process at a later stage of having the same standard as proposed by the DA in so far as shipping of goods within the Republic of South Africa. So really the proposal is that the department could conduct some form of assessment, then come back to the committee with that report on how we should engage further. If we have to engage them on a process, on a similar process like this one, of a deal and all of that, we treat it really separately and we deal with that at a later stage. But the proposal really is that we proceed with this one at this particular stage.
Can we get the opinion of the fundamental
Center? Thank you, Madam Chair. The vote before the committee, as we know from the title and from the mandate that was given by the House, is really to make this international agreement that was approved by Parliament and after the signature of by the executive to make it part of South Africa's domestic law. And that's what the Constitution requires. So I would just say, and I would agree with the proposal that was made, that the committee looks at this bill as a separate process to that issue between domestic movement of containers. That process needs to be a further proposed by the committee. There's not an issue for me at this point in time. But this bill and the mandate that came from the House needs to be seen as not trying to implementing that international agreement. So I would agree with that one. Thanks.
Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. We are also of the view that we need to make a determination and assessment as to whether we have legislation that deals with domestic regulation of containers. And that particular process can be done at a later stage. Chairperson, if I may motivate by saying that when this particular convention also was looked at and when consultation was done, starting from the treaty adoption stage and application stage, it was not in the stage that this particular bill will address domestic movement. That is why we don't see any flaws that try to make this bill applicable to domestic movement. But we highly appreciate the fact that the fact raised by TA that there should be a particular attention should be paid on domestic movement, the safety of movement of containers domestically. So we are saying we request that the committee give us an opportunity to have a look at that. And if we realize that really there is that particular gap, then we'll come up with a bill. It may not be a long bill, it may be a 5-session bill whereby we make reference to this particular international standard that's set out in this particular bill and the convention. Thank you.
I fully understand the principle of this agreement, and I have no doubt in my mind. Even the articles that we signed for and now trying to make it into some sort of law is you know, there's no problem, and I don't have any problem, and I'm sure my colleague doesn't. But there were a couple of things that we just needed to wrap up, which came from the hearings, and I'm just wondering, because we want to make laws that tie into this thing. Now, in the articles, they keep on referring to the weights of containers and aspects of that. The practicalities of that, which I raised here when we started the debate on this particular thing, this bill has not been taken into account. And the concerns of Transnet as well, when they also brought up the matter as to how it can be done. Now, I think it's important that we try and embrace that somehow. The second thing is this, that it was brought up by, I think, one of the members from SAMHSA here, and that was the aspects of the dangerous goods bill. which we need to make reference to, because it's not so much the safety of the container, as I understand it, in the context of those articles, but also the contents of the container. If you go to, for instance, and I did make some reference to it.
The content within the container, it is regulated in terms of
A50 cage that is pinned on the side of the container, I think it will also state the weight of the container itself. I'm not sure if I go to the question as well.
It's not the weight of the container which I'm concerned about specifically. It's what goes into the container. If you put gold into the container and try to lift it with its weight, the specification of the container might be exceeded, in which case you are going to get the container breaking up or collapsing, or even in a stacking position. Now, if you go to the Act and you look at the description that they refer to constantly in terms of the mass weight, there's got to be some process that we could ensure that we are not overloading these containers in accordance with the specification, because that is as dangerous as having an empty container being lifted, which is rusted and not compliant. So I'm just concerned, first of all, that we take into consideration the weight inside, or the goods inside the container when it is lifted. That people do not, and they do, let me tell you, believe me, they do, because you just need to go and look at some of the records on the weighbridges of vehicles moving with containers coming out the harbour. They are overweight, and they're messing up our roads, and if there's no regulation to prevent that happening, what's to say that you are not going to be having a situation of picking up a container at the dockside with metal or heavy iron ore in that container, which is going to cause its collapse because it exceeds the specification. Now, you can't tell me that you can guess the weight of a container. You've got your weight physically to see whether it is compliant within the regulations in terms of what that container should carry. And that was my proposal right from the outset. And the other aspect relating to Regulation 283 is that I'm just wondering whether, in fact, the inspectors, which have been given power to, has the rights to be able to also look and ensure that the content of the container doesn't contain goods which are of a dangerous nature. I'm not talking narcotics here, I'm talking, you know.
Thanks, Jefferson. I'm looking at Section 7 of the bill, which talks about the powers of the inspector. If you look at 7.1, it says, in addition to any power that he or she may have, that the inspector under the regulations, an inspector may be held liable at any reasonable time for any vehicle, including a ship, train, truck, or aircraft, or enter any premises if he or she believes on reasonable grounds that there is significant evidence that the condition of a container in or on such vehicle or premises creates an obvious risk to safety. Therefore, what it means is we need to come up with regulations in addition to the ones which are here, empowering the inspector to do the particular kind of inspection. So I think Section 7.1 answers the question. If you look at 7.1.2, it says if on a reasonable, at any reasonable time there is a container in or on that vehicle or premises for the purpose of verifying as to whether that container carries the valid state approval grade as required by the convention. Three, a provision of this act has been contravened. And examine any record or document and make copies of such a record or document found in such a vehicle, ship, train, aircraft, or premises. Then it means that will be the responsibility of the container to ensure the safety of this particular container and also to check the content of that particular container.
In response to that, I think that is where we go. If you look at 7.1, there's significant evidence that a condition, I would like to also add there, all contents of a container in or on such a vehicle or premises creates an obvious risk. And here you can make reference to the current statute laws of the Dangerous Goods Act, Regulation 283, or as applied in this particular convention. It is covering us for that type of scenario. And that is a proposal that I think I was hoping to come out of your suggestion. But it's not only the peripheral. Look, you can't, with your X-ray eyes, know what's inside. But if you can both the material, or it could be stuff that is actually unsafe in terms of the dangerous goods act, and we can make them reference specifically to that. It gives them the inspector those powers to be able to act. If you go to page 8, and this is why I want this reference included, on the ninth line, okay, the actual articles that we've signed refer specifically to dangerous goods. And we don't make reference to how we're going to deal with that. Then in fact, we are not compliant. Because it says here, for those features unique to containers carrying bulk liquids or containers been carried by air, the term dangerous goods should have that meaning assigned to it by international agreement. Now, we've got an act that tells us for that particular purpose in South Africa, and I think we need to make reference, cross reference to it. That's all I'm asking.
Which talks about the safety in addition to the content of what is being transported and the content. And that then informs even the regulation and the standards that are applied by some to then inspect the content. And this bill we dare not have that because that is already taken care of in terms of that safety content. Here we are dealing with a container. We are not dealing with what is inside the container. What is inside the container is dealt with through a different act that is already in existence, which is then being used by SAMHSA to inspect. That's what I'm hearing, and I'll then ask the Honorable Father to then argue as to whether that is not enough or whether in dealing with the container, we also need to deal with what is inside the container. Because the convention is not about the content of the container, it is about the container.
My meditation that I thought I'd got through was we need to know aspects of content because it has bearing on the state. I gave the example or analogy of the gold and the weight of that in a particular container which has got certain safety conditions and criteria attached to it in terms of the size, the thickness of the steel and all the specifications. Now if we agree then to give powers to the inspector under this particular piece of legislation here, which is what all about Section 7, it's giving power. That inspector must be empowered by knowing that if he's going to have access to both the safety and the superficial aspects and specifications of the container per se, and that the content of that container has bearing on that the container as to whether they lift it and the bottom falls out or not, that we are now talking about content. And if we agree that we are going to include that the condition and all contents of a container, which is what my suggestion was, then I think we have to make reference somewhere to say in accordance with the existing acts that exist in this country which relate to dangerous and the movement of dangerous and safety and safe goods. Now, making a reference to a particular act to me gives more empowerment to that particular person, that particular inspector, than if he says, well, no, you've got to go and find that somewhere else, and it is there. That's all I'm trying to do, is to reinforce and to give more power to that inspector, to enable him or her to know that it's not only the outside peripheral inspection that is necessary, but in every respect it might be a decision you have to take about the content of it. And in order for that person to be empowered, and I made reference to the article, because in the article of the convention, they talk about that aspect and the safety aspects of that relating to it in regard to the country of origin, which is it. And all I'm trying to do is to reinforce that, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe to clarify that we've got the Merchant Shipping Act. The purpose of the Merchant Shipping Act is to ensure that safety of life and property at sea. So out of the Merchant Shipping Act, there is Merchant Shipping Dangerous Goods regulations. Those regulations emanate from SOLAS, Safety of Life at Sea Convention. It states that the content within the container has to comply with International Maritime Dangerous Goods Code. So these bills seek to clarify as far as safety of the content is concerned, not the content. The content is pronounced on the regulation and also the Merchant Shipping Act.
inspect the container informed by this means. You then do away with the inspection that you always send out before the pattern was received. That's what I want to say before.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think this bill does not take away any functions or powers that SAMHSA has as from the Principal Act, which is the Relationship Act, as well as in the procedural instrument, which is the regulation. Because both the Act and the regulation emanate from the international treaty, of which we have a party to as a country. So there is no confusion as far as the application of this bill and the existing legislation is concerned. The state of the container and the content and inspecting the content.
So this bill is adding to what is already being done. The contents are already being inspected, and this bill is then adding to this. In addition to you as an inspector having to inspect the content, you must also inspect the container. And this is what I'm saying.
Exactly. To add on that, even though we don't have to make legislation as far as inspecting the container is concerned, but the fact that we are a state country convention, we are obliged to ensure that every container that leaves our port to any country outside South Africa complies with the standards. Because we have an international application as far as the convention is concerned. Whether we do have domestic legislation or we don't, but for the fact that we are in touch with the convention, we ensure that the container that we have in the country complies.
We
understand. But my reference point, we just go back to it, is on page 8, under Article 5. If you read that, and this is what I'm trying to get at, it talks about all these application of provision of national regulations or legislation or international agreements prescribed, but prescribing additional, and I stress the word structural, safety requirements or tests for containers specifically designed for transport of dangerous goods. Now, if we have an act in accordance with what has been said, that covers that. All I'm trying to say is this. We have inspectorate that has got to now comply to this article, which we have been signed now. And we are making a bill in relation to these articles here. Then why not just make references? I mean, is there anything that is not going to, it's not duplicating, it's not writing a new dangerous goods act? All it's saying is that inspectorate has got the right also to check the content for the purpose of structural defect, as I said, because it has got something in there that should not be in there, that's heavier than it should be, as opposed to the gold and feathers analogy, then we must empower that particular inspector to be able to say, sorry, that container is not going to be moved, it's got to be abandoned, it's got to be put in terms of the act. And I'm just trying to reinforce, and I appreciate the fact that you have an act that you are working towards, but here we are specifically dealing with these international articles of agreement, which we now try to make ourselves compliant with, and we try to reinforce it in the best way possible. And when I see the word that it has prescribed additional structural safety, I'm using my reference point to what I just referred to as being why we also need to empower that inspector to be able to look at both content and also the physical container. And if that requires, you know, us to make reference to an act, I don't see what the problem is, unless you feel that it's overarching sufficiently and you're not convincing me that we can get away with it and just, you know.
I
thank you, Chairperson. I think the powers of inspectors in this bill is to examine this container, not the contents. I think it has been clearly said to us what the role the SAMHSA is playing and what the role of this inspector in this bill is playing. So I think Chairperson will not time for something that we understand very well. We mustn't confuse issues, because there are people who are dealing with contents, there are people who are dealing with containers. This bill stands to deal with containers. Thank you, Chair.
Now, if I can start with the trying to debrief with Article 5 of the. If we start with Article 5, if we start with the preamble of the schedule to the International Convention, which says, two main purposes. One is to maintain a high level of safety, in short. The other one, the need to facilitate international container transport. So there's that issue of safety on the one hand, and the issue of let's have a uniform standard so that we don't create what's called these hidden trade barriers that we sometimes experience in other countries. Your container arrives in South America or in the Far East, and suddenly the structure of that container is not sufficient for its domestic purposes, and you can't actually sell your goods there, and it has to come back. So it wants to do those two things amongst others. And for that purpose, and that's my reading, we look at subsection 2 of Article 5. It says, firstly, the contracting parties shall not impose any other structural safety requirements. So you have a uniform standard that's set up in this international convention, and we're trying to put that now in domestic law. But it then says it will not preclude, so it gives the discretion to your contracting countries for any provisions of national regulations or legislation for the additional safety structures for specified goods, for dangerous goods and so on, and it refers there again to an international agreement on the definition of dangerous goods. So it's still within the structure, as Honourable Carter has said, the structural safety requirements. So that's what the convention wants to do. So when we look at the power of an inspector, and what I've heard is similar to what you said, is that the inspectors already have that power to look at not just, let's call it the basic structure of a container, but also the special structures when it carries specified goods. And it's a very broad wording that's used in section or clause 7.1a of the bill so far. And in fact, that's more of a power to board, to open it and to look at it, to get onto a truck or get onto a boat that's carrying it. But when, and I think this is what for me would be the critical point, when one looks at the regulations, they're also quite broad what the minister may do. If you look at clause 10.1g, it says the minister may make regulations generally with regard to any other incidental, administrative, or procedural matter necessary to prescribe for the proper implementation of that act. So if an inspector has a power to look at the inside, the goods, the content of a container, and in terms of this bill, they also have the power to look at the structure, then one can address this issue in regulations, in my view. One can bring it together in regulations. And I'm saying this without having had the opportunity to study everything in detail, but much similar to the first question we dealt with this morning, the issue of should we state what is obvious in the bill. If we have specific laws dealing with the contents of goods and how to bring that together and what kind of container we must have to carry these contents of goods, you don't want to restate it and create confusion, especially not for people who need to implement this kind of laws, because you will look at that and suddenly you have to look at 5-6 different pieces of legislation that cross refers to each other and so on. So the approach that I usually have, or that the drafts of legislation have, is just to keep it simple, just to state what is necessary and state it clearly. So I would end with this. I will really refer to my colleagues in the department who implement this and work with this. If they are of the view that they have all the powers they need, one doesn't want to state the obvious or repeat what is necessary there. But as I say, it's on the convention side, it's still a discretion, a policy matter if you want to refer to it or not.
check both sides of the deal. State that Article 2 to 6 of the Convention has a total flow in the Republic, which means share automatically this deal passed the Parliament, it becomes an act of Parliament. So those are articles will form part of the law of the partnership. So whatever is contained in the in Article 5 will have to be complied with by the council. And share to agree with my colleague there, Mr. Yeltsin, share, if share there is a legislation share that deals with issues of the content of container share, then share it is currently being implemented, share has been implemented continuously share for child share. And share, I would suggest that we do not try to deviate from giving effect to the condition in terms of the share and then stick to the condition of the container share rather than the content of the container share. Thank you, sir.
transform the standards and the requirements that are used by our inspectors who are inspecting the content as we speak. While then, when we are dealing with the bill that talks to the container, we need then a clause that talks about the content. That's what is not clear in my mind. We are not choosing to ignore, we are not ignoring anything, because it's already there, it's not being ignored. What has not been happening is that there has not been the enforcement of the international convention in as far as the safety of the container is concerned. And that is what we are dealing with. And the safety of the content that we already have subscribes to the international convention standard. Why do we then need to bring that up again when we are dealing with the container?
Because we are dealing with safety in totality, and I don't
I would then not understand one thing that he would be ignoring, because what honorable father is advancing is already taken care of. It will not be taken care of because it is written in this book. It's already taken care of without it being written in this book. And what then would be the purpose of having it written in this book when it is already there and taking place and being applied and appealed to? What problems shall we be addressing by inserting it in here? Honorable Kabuta, followed by Honorable Manana, and then Honorable Father.
Chairperson, I think here we are talking one and the same thing over and over again. I propose that you close this argument, because it's clear, unless if we ignore it. It has been clearly stated in this bill that we deal with the safety of containers, nothing else. So, Chairperson, I propose that we close this argument. Thank you.
Thank you very much again, Chair. Chair, I think you have clarified the concerns raised by Honorable Farr are indeed current. And as such, what you should be appreciating is the fact that these obviously two acts will be able to complement one another because they both speak to safety. The point is one speaks to safety of the content and the other to that of the container. But they are two acts that should be able to run simultaneously in dealing with issues of safety. So I think, Chair, you kept it correct. I think we should just move forward because there is no contradiction whatsoever. It is covered. And indeed, it's a very fair concern, absolutely, but it has been covered. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, my argument really comes from the state of the case. And that's all I'm arguing around. The fact is that if we are dealing with the safety of a container in its physical form and the specifications related, it has implications along the line. For both the safety of it being moved, stacked, put on a ship, or transported. And if we're not embracing that in terms of the spirit of this agreement, then I think that we are failing in that sense. Because your reference to the fact that they are overarching acts, I fully understand. I fully understand this there. I even quoted and I substantiated it by virtue of what the state law advisor said. Why is it then that in this act already, you make reference to the Merchant Shipping Act, you make reference to the Standards Act, etc., etc.? All it does is reinforcing what I'm trying to say. We must have reference. And if reference doesn't have any bearing in putting it here, and there's an argument about whether you should include it or shouldn't include it to emphasize a matter, well, that could be a debate in itself. But quite honestly, I'm trying to just put over a point of view which relates to the spirit of this agreement. And the spirit of the agreement was to have an all-embracing safety Merchant Shipping Act, which would actually cover aspects of all the implications of that intent, be it the fact that it didn't meet it on its physical form, or the contents inside it would have caused some sort of danger to human life, or anything that's transported along the line. So I said my piece, and I just wanted to put that over in the debate. And the reason I raised it was because I wanted the department to investigate and to clearly come up with some fine arguments. But anyway, here we are.
I think the department was going to investigate if we did not have an existing law on that. It was going to investigate because it would then relate to the two capital of safety, which would then not have been covered if we did not have an existing act. But the fact that we have an existing act, then means that we are already covered. And then, in my view, and in the view of the ANC, we then have got no need to department should investigate what, because they already have met. if we are then applying the Guinean techniques to say, no, go back and conduct a research and delay this process, then we must say so. Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to know how many times have you repeated the one sentence that the act is already passed? You see, what I think is happening with Honorable Trump is because what I mean is that he was trying to confuse us and he ended up being confused himself. We will discuss this and when we finish, we ask ourselves and get all together. No, we can't be running around in circles. We have finished about this. Can't be just as it's fine. Because we can't sit here and listen to one person as it seems, trying to speak against everybody. And we must listen to him, why he wants to not be that. This is not what we are here for. No.
No, no, Chair. Chair, I think we must be able to clearly move forward. And I proposed earlier that the meeting should really progress with this. We are dealing with a process that will obviously speak to the safety of the container. Very clear. And there is already the system that is speaking to the safety of the court. Now, these two, the correctly stated, these two will obviously have to complement each other in order to address the concerns of the department of the institutional issue, with these concerns are indeed going to be addressed by this corporation. Thank you very much.
Chairperson, we have had the arguments from, in fact, we've made a submission. Also, the honorary members have had their arguments about this thing. And also, the parliamentary legal advisor has also stated his case, and also the federal advisor. We still believe that the act covering this particular point, and we believe that first of all, thank you. Sufficiently empowering the inspector to conduct the inspection of the content of the container with regard to dangerous goods. Thanks.
Chair Person, let me just put up front that I'm not here to try and delay this process. I mean, the debate I'm entering into is trying to raise questions that I have in my mind, which is really about trying to get satisfaction from my own personal point of view. That is all. If the department is telling us that they feel this is covered in terms of those points that I've raised, that was all I'm trying to establish. I'm not delaying this process, confusing the process. It is a right for anybody to ask questions. I do this thing differently. I understand where you're coming from and I understand what you're saying. But I'm saying, are we covering ourselves entirely in terms of the recognition and the spirit of the agreement? Which is broadly based. Let's face it, go to this section and look at that. It's very broad. It talks about the human life, the safety of not only the container, the transport. So I'm just trying to establish that we're not going to have to come back in another 6 months' time and start amending this or some other piece of legislation because we've forgotten to add in or to consider what I've put forward. That's all. It's a simple debate. It's not an argument. I'm not going against what you are saying. I'm not going against what the department is saying. I'm trying to put on the table something to be able to generate a response which will satisfy me personally, from my own personal point of view, what in fact the department and how they feel that covers. They feel that? That's fine. I've got the answers. The debate's finished, Madam Chair. Please don't stifle the debate, whatever you want to do. Please. I am a debater, and the reason I raise these things is because it was concerned to me. And if I have concerns, I must put them on the table. Otherwise, we might as well just come here and rather stand this whole process.
Thank you. I know that you are the first that I 45 minutes to debate. And we have had input from all members. All members have spoken on this issue, except Mr. DiFreddo. I'm not a participant, I'm the only one that has not spoken on this particular aspect. We have had an input by the parliamentary law advisor, we have had an input by the state law advisor, we have had an input by the council, we have had an input by the department. How then to ask that to the debate?
Yeah,
but that is what it says.
The
party
is
the same. No, but we, I am sitting on the chair, and anyone that would have a power to stifle a debate is the chair that would say, let us not debate this issue, and I have allowed the debate to take place. And this debate has been taken, has taken 45 minutes, and all members have been given an opportunity to speak on this submission by Honourable Bar. And we have all tried to explain and put arguments forward that this is covered. And we have even went to an extent of asking how in your mind, because we are trying to get into your head and think and understand how you think when you feel that it is not adequately covered when we have an act that deals with the safety of the content and the safety of the container. When we allow you to put forward your argument, we are trying to get into your head and think in the same way that you do. And we can't arrive at that. Because we don't see any gap that you see. And you are not also able to explain to us what is this gap that you see when we have two acts that will complement each other and that can be implemented simultaneously. And we have an entity that is charged with the responsibility of them using both acts simultaneously to say to the inspector, when you inspect in terms of safety, you inspect along the provisions of the content and also along the provisions of the container. We are trying to get into your head and understand how you think, and we have not arrived at that. And then you cannot then say you are starting the debate when we can't arrive at a common understanding with you. We are not starting the debate. We have given this enough time, and also we cannot carry on because your mind works differently from the minds of all the people that are seated here. We have to move on now because all of us are believing that we have sufficient provision that take care of the issues that were raised by Transnet, which you were advocating for. In your first argument, you said you were talking so that there would be no confusion in terms of what the inspector had to do. And SAMHSA responded to that, that there would be no confusion in terms of the inspector. Because the entity that is charged with that understands this clearly and knows that both actually have to be applied to my family today. In terms of Transnet, we are also saying these two acts will take care of the issue that Transnet has raised, because we then need to say Transnet made this submission and we are responding and saying what Transnet raised is taken care of by these two pieces of legislation. And then you said the third submission that you said, if we choose to ignore, and we responded by saying we are not ignoring because there is an existing act and we are very mindful that the issues that you are bringing about are covered by that act. We then are saying we have to move on now because we have responded to all the issues that we have, you were raising in as far as the total safety and also adherence to the International Convention. And I'm the only one who said, unless you are applying the delay incentive to say we shouldn't pass this, because we have responded to all the issues that you are raising in as far as this is concerned. That's what I said. And I want us now to close this debate, because it is not taking us anywhere, because all of us are in agreement that we have an existing act and it covers the concerns.
Chair, I think really it is very much incorrect to say if the department feels they cover it, because this is an act of power, and we should understand it from that context. So it should not be about the department feeling whether indeed it has been covered or not. It is an act of parliament, which we are, by the way, members of. So these are acts that we engage on the process on and arrive at some determination on how they should be shaped and all of that. So it's not the department that we should use, it's an act of parliament that addresses the concerns of members of us, and we should move forward from that.
Now, in terms of the issue that was raised, we want to resolve on this issue. In terms of the issue that was raised around safety of the content, the majority of the submissions made by members, as well as the department, and the advice that we are getting from the parliamentary legal advisor, as well as the school advisor, is that we have an act that covers that, so it should not be an issue. And the implementing entity also is also in agreement with that. Can we then close that agreement at that level? Is there a third issue that was of concern from Honourable Fellow in relation to the submission that we need? Are there any other issues that members would want us to apply our minds on in as far as this particular bill is concerned?
Thank you, Chairperson. There is one thing that was always in our mind that we thought during the course of the debate we raised with this Honorable House. Chairperson, if you look at our convention, it's even part one and part two. And part two deals with amendments to the convention. Now, Chairperson, part two, when this bill was drafted, it was in the stage that the 1993 amendment shall have come into operation or enforced internationally. So they are not internationally enforced yet. And once they become enforced, then we also need to accept, meaning in writing, accept this particular 1993 amendment. But the reason why we put together with this particular convention, it was in this age of time when this bill was developed that it shall have been internationally enforced and we shall have acceded to this particular amendment. Therefore, if you look at the clauses of our bill, there is no clause that links us to part two of this particular convention. Now, there are two options which may be available for us in how do we deal with part two. The first option would be either we keep part two within this particular bill, but when we proclaim this particular bill, we don't put part two into operation up until internationally it's enforced. The other first one, of course, Chairperson, would be to delete Part 2 from this particular convention, and once it is internationally enforced, then we accede to this particular convention and make it to be part of this particular bill. But our strong move as a department is that it might be better not to avoid confusing the parties, just to delete Part 2, and then once it is internationally enforced, then we'll come in to Parliament and accede to this particular convention, or request accession of this particular amendment to 1993.
Any
effect to something that is not yet internationally recognized for implementation purposes. The second alternative that I put two proposals. The second alternative would be to leave Part 2 within this particular bill, and when this particular convention gets enforced internationally, then we assist to this particular amendment, and then we proclaim that to form part of our local means of protection.
Issue there, we should delete it because the constitution wants the negotiation
any other issue that some members of the board have to discuss on this bill? If there is like that we have come to the end of the discussion of the bill, we don't have a quorum. Can we then, in the meantime, whilst we are trying to get a quorum, proceed to discuss other things? Okay, the issues that the Honourable Member would like to ask to discuss, we can now do.
Thank you, Chair. Just relates to administrational procedures which are necessary for this portfolio committee to deal with various conditions of acts that go into the ACTs and don't seem to reach us. And I've discussed it, as you suggested, with my colleague here from the ANC in the Whippery, and it's not something that we actually have anything to deal with, because let me explain how this process works. When there is any documentation that have to, or any, put it this way, papers that are tabled by the department in accordance with the Act, which requires ratification by this committee, it normally gets sent to both yourself and also to the Speaker. And then that is then through the Secretariat tabled for debate whenever we come to the portfolio committee, and we try and slot it in within the time frames, because many of them, I might add, are saying that we have to deal with it within a certain time frame. Now, I've just noticed there's another one that came out on the 2nd, and I brought your notice previously, the ones relating to the boards, which we seem to have missed, we still haven't seen. And the second one now relates to proposed amendments to the National Road Traffic Regulations, which this Portfolio Committee amended the Act in 2009. It was assented to on the 25th of November, which said that we had to look at these regulations in terms of the National Road Traffic Act, comment on them, and then respond accordingly. Now, what has happened here, again, is that this one, if it is the one, I think it is, it was then agreed to, or it was published by the department on the 2nd of November, which was a couple of days after the ascension, and it was known as the 17th Amendment Act, which had a whole lot of regulations, which was not brought to this committee, but needless to say, has now been withdrawn. If I read the government gazette, as it was yesterday or the day before, in other words, they put them in, and they realise that they're not practically can be implemented, and the next result they've been withdrawn. Now the number of the gazette which they've withdrawn actually doesn't correspond with the number of the actual published one. So again, there's some cost implications and some bungling by the department, which hopefully, if it come to this particular portfolio, we could have avoided. Because heaven knows how much that costs in terms of the having to republish twice now, and then retract it, and then put it back in, and it goes on. So I would appreciate if we can try and see if we can, if you, Madam Chair, I think need to contact the department and to find out what is happening with the communication process here, because unless those get tangled here, we could avoid that type of implication and cost. Because I could have told you when I saw those things when they came out in the first day, that they had some flaws in them, major flaws. So again, I'll just raise this question. We need to deal with those matters in accordance with the law, and they've got to be regulated in a way that they've got to come to us somehow. Whether it means that the Speaker's office must be also tabled simultaneously here, or the department sends them to us, that we can deal with it, and the
have no consensus with them. In terms of the discussions, I think you will not be prepared now to do anything because it's a process of absorbing content and absorbing the content. Unless it's not a student, it's still a process.
When are we having
to
pass this book? Are we going to try and do it today?
If we get a quorum, we can pass it today. If we are unable to, we can pass it on the 5th. There's nothing now.
Next Tuesday. We suggest the next Tuesday.
Honorable Manana is going out to try and get people to
let us.
We can, because there is nothing left that we need to do.
If we get a quorum, I think we should try and knock it on the head. It's a pretty straightforward piece of legislation, despite my debate. But, I mean, generally, otherwise the department would have come back with us, and, I'm just thinking of the cost.
That's what I was trying to short-circuit, to actually, which is why Honorable Manana has gone out to try and get members so that we can correct. So that the department would not have to come back just for the approval of the bill, because we've done everything that has to be done in relation to it.
Okay. Then the last one was the whole aspect of finding time to discuss that cold asphalt story, which relates to the repair of potholes and what have you, and to maybe try and get the relevant speakers to come and present to us some of the technical aspects of it. I've suggested to you that we also try and get SABS to actually approve the specifications for that product to also come and do it, because with the new dedicated maintenance fund, which the minister's budgeted for, I think it's important that we get that initiative moving across the country.
I will respond to the first one. Thank you for taking that issue up and discussing it. I will be looking at those issues, but I also want to indicate here that a problem has been identified which we are dealing with. That relates to the support to chairs of committees to enable them to do their work, which is what the House Chair is currently dealing with together with the Speaker, because a gap has been identified that a lot of work. We need to have more staff than we currently have. I'm sure you also have noticed that my executive secretary is not here. I have a person that is sitting here, meaning that the work flow and the workload is the support that I need in terms of processing the work is also coming from that, but that is also being dealt with. I think also that I would need to speak to the minister so that we strengthen the role of the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. Because whatever comes from the department has to also be communicated with my office in terms of the deadlines and what has to happen. And I will take care of that. But then we also need to revisit
revisit this issue after we have dealt with the issue of the bill to look at how the state issues form. Thank you, Honorable Member. We are further think a merchant shipping bill in line with the State Container Convention. South Africa is the signatory to the convention, meaning that we are bound by the agreement that our country has. And for we then required a bill that would enable us to enforce the contents of the State Container Convention. And that is the bill that we have been processing. We will deliver instance on the bill, we will have public hearings, and we will come to the conclusion now. And we are explaining that so that we don't just be part of making sure that we have a problem without understanding what it is that we are passing. We have debated all the issues around the bill and we have come to an agreement in terms of the provisions and the legality of the bill and the constitutionality of the bill. And we are at a stage now where we want to approve the bill. And for that to happen, we require a quorum, which is why we ask that they become angry at first before the committee, because some of the members are not present. They have asked for a legal assistance. What we are then going to do at this moment is that we are going to invite a proposal for the approval of the bill and the stakeholder for the approval of the bill. The people that would move a motion for the approval are only members that are present in this particular committee who were part of the discussions. I now open an opportunity for the mover for the approval and adoption of the bill. Honorable Manana is moving. Can you speak on it, Honorable Manana?
Yes, Chair. I move for the adoption of the bill.
Can we have a second?
Thank you, Chair. I move for the support. I second the move for the adoption of this bill. Thank you.
Is there anyone opposed to the adoption of the bill? There will be no one opposing the adoption of the bill. The Portfolio Committee of Transport hereby approve and adopt the National Shipping Bill, Bill number 31 of Bill number 31 of 2010. Thank you very much.